Hi, folks. Welcome to ninoscorner.tv. This is going to go on FluffTube. I wasn't sure if I hit the recording button, but it looks like I did. I'm joined with David Weiss, FlatEarthDave.com, and John Pounders, Now You See TV on YouTube. John joined me before with Akshay, and it's Akshay Naventi. Naventi, right, John?
I think that's how you say it. I'm not the greatest pronouncer in the world either, but yeah, it's close enough, I think.
Yeah, anyway, he's going to make the journey across Antarctica, right? We did a big show with him, and after I finished his show, it was probably a day later, I got a text from David saying, no, I can debunk everything. I can debunk it.
No, hold on. Question. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. And so what we're going to do in this segment here is talk about that because, I mean, look, do I think he's really going to Antarctica to take this pillage and journey across? Absolutely. I'm sorry. I believe that. I don't, as far as I know, there's no ice wall that he's going to come across and not be able to scale. And to me, this is a journey he's going to cross Antarctica. That's what I see happening. He's done it before partially, so I don't think there's going to be any problems this time. But David, you brought up some points on text. You're going to bring them up on the show today. Let's talk about this. You're going to try to prove that the earth is flat. And I'm 1 foot in and 1 foot out, guys. I'm always 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I do believe there's something up there. There's some kind of firmament. I believe I saw it with the Elon Musk rocket launch. I think I saw something go through the firmament. But I don't know. I've never been up there, but I keep an open mind. But first, folks, get your morning kick with Chuck Norris, baby. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I recently saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s and still kicking butt and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking is he's stronger, can work out longer, and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. He did this by just making one change. He still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing too, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and her body looks leaner and she has energy all day. Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Nino or Nino or by clicking the link below in this video. It will change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Nino and click on the link in the description below to watch the video now. You won't believe how simple it is. Just a reminder, the legendary Chuck Norris is a whopping 81 years old. Damn. I know he was 81 already, man. Damn.
I didn't either.
Wow. More energy. And it says, I have to say, and yet he has more energy than me. He probably does. He discovered he could create dramatic changes to his health simply by focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. Watch his method by clicking on the link below, folks. Hit the link below and get started. ChuckDefense.com/Nina. All right, guys. Sorry about that, but I got a... Got to read the ad for Chuck Norris. Pretty cool, Chuck Norris ads. All right, so, Dave, let me just kick this off by saying I do believe Akshay is going to Antarctica, and I do believe he's going to make this journey.
So do I.
It's going to happen. So what am I missing here? I don't understand. So, I mean, he's not going to an ice wall.
Hang on. We're going to go at a nice pace here. I'm going to answer all your questions. And then I'm going to tell people, don't believe anything I say. Verify everything else. And if you think Flat Earth is stupid, come collect my 3 Bitcoins. I'm offering 3 Bitcoins for 1 proof of the globe. So pay attention and shut me up if I'm wrong. I've been trying to shut myself up for 10 years now, and I'm still here. So, you know,
I'll say there's a lot of things that don't add up to me 100%. I'm going to be the first to admit that. I know that to be. That's why I keep entertaining this. That's why I keep coming back to this, because something isn't right. But I cannot still go full. I can't do that yet. You know what I mean?
I got to
restrain myself, bro.
I'm going to help you. But Dave, first, I want to just talk about your career in the truth. You were a full-on boxer before you were truther. And then when boxing kind of ended for you because of whatever, you know, injuries or whatever, your career, amended, you got into the truth just because that's where the creator led you, right? So your boxing.
Well, I was doing that during training camp. I was doing nothing but truth or stuff. I was awake probably around 2007, but yes.
All right. So yes. But your journey, your fearlessness in the ring has made you fearless in the awakening.
I like that. I love you even more now.
I just want to bring that up. And Dave, I believe that you don't get everything right. You do the best that you can and you have an honest heart and you're looking for truth. So that's what we're here today to is discuss truth. So I appreciate you. All right.
And I want to say something. Something real quick? Because I was on the last interview and I want to just kind of clarify where I'm at in all this too, just so there's no confusion on that. But I believe that we are definitely in a geocentric earth. In my mind, there is no shadow of a doubt. I believe what the Bible says describes 100% a geocentric earth. As far as flat earth, I'm still like, there's been times when I'm like, okay, I believe there's a flat earth. And then there's times where I'm like, okay, how does the sun thing happen on Antarctica? How does that happen on a flat earth? There's so many questions that I have that I can't quite go all the way in on that, but I do believe in geocentric, and I'm really super interested about this Antarctica thing. That's why I went on the original interview, but I couldn't ask certain questions because it's like this guy genuinely, like Nina was saying, genuinely believes he's going over there and he's crossing, and he's certainly crossing a section of Antarctica.
He is.
But it's like you don't go on and like bash the guy after not knowing everything about it, because I'm sure that compartmentalization is a huge part of all this.
But hold on, John. Did you see the? So wait, David, was it you that debated the guy that I brought on that with the geocentric model?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I had never heard of him before your show.
I brought him on with Dustin Nemos. That's what I did. Dustin Nemos and him went at it. He's pushing the geocentric model. So that's what you believe in, John.
I believe that, and I think that one of the best people, if you want to get somebody that actually knows what they're talking about on that subject, and I don't know the guy that you got on, it might be this guy, but his name's Robert Sungenis. He actually debated Rob Skiba at a Flat Earth conference in Denver, Colorado, I believe. And, man, I mean, he's got books on it. So, like, people teach it to their kids in school to show them that representation of how the geocentric Earth works. And the thing about the geocentric Earth is that it 100% the math works exactly the same on geocentric Earth as it would on a heliocentric Earth. And it's pretty amazing. So, you know, at least that's one step in the right direction, I believe, if nothing else, just to check out.
And geocentric Earth means that we are the center of the universe, correct? Like that but you do believe there's an outer space?
I believe that the outer space is within the firmament, which is what the Bible describes it being within the firmament. So there is an outer space. There's a third heaven. The second heaven's everything that we can see and reach, whereas the third heaven is within the firmament or outside of the firmament
and our solar system are within our firmament.
The Bible just says that they're in the firmament. So whatever that means, that's of course I've never been up there. I don't know anybody personally that has, but within the firmament, whatever that means, they're there and they're being moved.
But can we penetrate the firmament? Is what I'm asking.
I don't think so. I don't believe so. I believe that the flat Earth thing is a hoax. I don't believe it's real. I believe that all of this talk and stuff that they're doing and all of this money that they're putting into a budget is to try to break through the firmament like they've been trying to do since Babylon.
You don't believe in flat Earth. You believe in the geocentric Earth, but you do believe in a firmament.
I believe in the possibility of a flat Earth, but I definitely believe in a geocentric.
I'm kind of on the same page with you, John. I'm just going to say I'm kind of right there with you. I'm not convinced either way, but a geocentric kind of makes sense to me. But I'm open to listening to the flat Earth because it just raises a lot of questions that I'm like, I didn't think about that, or man, that doesn't add up, you know. But right. I don't jump in with both feet, you know, on either.
That's best that you know. And I always say that, you know, Crow 777 Radio, he came up with the line, belief is the enemy of knowing. And I've kind of changed it a little bit. It's belief is the lazy man's knowing. Not calling anybody lazy, but belief is easy, Dave. I believe that you don't have soundproofing in your studio. I can't prove it, but you know, but I believe it because you told me. So belief is easy, and
Working on it, folks. I'm working on it.
I have a strong belief. I have a strong belief in that. But when you talk about planets, you know, that's one of the biggest arguments is, oh, what about planets? Are all the planets around and we're the only pancake? We don't believe in planets, or at least I don't. I don't believe that there's terra firma up there. This is a star hundreds of trillions of miles away, right? Our consumer optics have outgrown their lives. You ask me what this is, I don't know what it is, but it certainly looks sentient, angelic. I don't know, but it's not a burning ball of gas in a space vacuum.
Hold on. It looks like when you're out swimming in the swimming pool and the sun's on your face and you're looking at your arm and you can see all the glistening water. It looks just like that.
Well, the Bible says that there's water above, you know, the water's above.
Right. And so let's start with that first. So,
well, go ahead.
The sky's blue. Are we really looking at water there? I mean, that common sense tells me.
I don't know about that.
Reflection
I don't know
of the
about
gases.
That.
Okay.
The sun, again, we're getting off the Antarctica thing, but we can start here. The sun is electric in my understanding, and it's fluorescing the gases in the sky before the sun rises. So I was in Mexico for the winter, and half an hour before the sun rises, I can read a book on the west side of my house. And where's that light coming from? It's the fluorescing of the gases in the sky. Most of the gas up high is nitrogen. Nitrogen fluoresces blue. There's one explanation of why the sky is blue. And then when we have sunset, you get into xenon and argon, all these other gases that are lower. And that's why you have orange and yellows and all of these colors and stuff. So again, we don't need to look up at the heavens and the sky to prove the shape of the ground below us. We don't need to speculate, oh, that star, you know, they tell us all these crazy things about the sizes of these stars and that there's planets around them. No one's ever seen a planet outside of our solar system, and that's a whole other thing. And no astronomer anywhere ever has seen a star anything other than a pinpoint of light. That's it. Just a pinpoint
of
light.
These big observatories that I see all over New Mexico, they're not looking at planets. They're looking at that right there. You're going to tell me that's what they look like.
Well, that's a star when you really zoom in on it, and you know, if you want to get into planets,
zoom in with what? I mean,
well, with a telescope. With a telescope, the thing is, you know, if we look at here's Venus. Is this Venus? Venus. Is this Venus? Let me just move this forward a little bit here. So this is Venus. Now, that's not a gassy, dirty, dusty ball reflecting sunlight. That's something else. And I don't know what it is. You know,
don't we have like satellite telescopes up in space that are looking
we
at
don't know. We have. We can go down the satellites. I could explain Starlink to you. I could do all this stuff. We don't have 5 hours. Let's stick to Antarctica. If you want to go overtime on some of these other things, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to come back. I'm happy to do anything you want.
I also want to just make a note, too, that biblically the Bible describes stars as angelic beings normally. If you look at and David Weiss, you know Rob Skiba. You knew Rob Skiba.
Oh, yeah.
I was friends with Rob Skiba for years back right before he started in on the flat earth topic. And so, you know, I remember that journey. And so you remember him. But he had a website called testingtheglobe.com. And so for people who were actually interested in what the Bible says about stars and planets, I suggest going to that website because he has, it's still active today, and it has all of those scriptures listed actively on there. So just throwing that out there to anybody who's further interested.
And one last thing about stars being angels, I'm down. I think that stars are angelic and they're so perfect that they never move. Now, Dave, when you're moving down the street or something, you have parallax. Things change position due to being closer and farther. We're traveling 4.5 billion miles a year, let alone the 186 million miles from side to side of the sun. We're traveling 4.5 billion miles a year. Most of the stars, they tell us, in our solar system are binary. So they're orbiting around each other while they're orbiting around the solar system. And never once in history have two stars change position from our point of view.
But isn't the whole universe expanding at once? Aren't we all moving together?
No, we're everything's moving in different directions. We're moving, you know, we're moving 4.5 billion miles a year, and never, Dave, have a closer star past a farther star. When you're going down the road, the light poles are whizzing by you, but the mountaintops are barely moving. That's called parallax. And never once have any two stars crossed each other. So that's a problem right there. That's a big problem. But let's
I was under the impression that everything's expanding at once at the same speed. Yeah. I don't know.
Dave, they're telling us that the universe is expanding. I forget the number. It's 1 billion miles either per day or per minute or per second. But either way, 1 billion miles, you know, expanding. And there's no proof of that anywhere. That's just an infinite universe. And
I think there's actually the anti-proof of that by looking at like things like the pyramids and structures that were built in alignment with the stars, who knows how many thousands of years ago.
Yeah. So 100%. So again, the claims that they make for outer space, for the heliocentric system, are absolutely scientifically provable nonsense. We can spend an hour on each one of them. I could show you how stars can't exist that the way that they say, but that's a whole nother show. Let's stick to Antarctica for now.
Okay, let's stick to Antarctica. let's go into it.
So do people say, you know, where's the ice wall? You know, this is the ice wall. This is the shoreline of Antarctica. They want you to believe the ice wall is this and boats going over the edge. You know, the, just like, you know, large so bodies.
The ice wall is not a drop off. The ice wall is you pull up to it. It's a huge.
It's the shoreline of Antarctica. So if you look at the average height of every continent on Earth, I don't know. I should pull up a graph, but all of the numbers, the two highest continents added together are lower than Antarctica. Antarctica is the highest continent on Earth. Large bodies of water need containment, just like this lake needs containment. Our oceans need containment, and there's Antarctica, right? There's Antarctica. This is not flat Earth. This is what they want you. Google flat Earth, you're going to see this from the Flat Earth Society. As I've told you every time I'm on here, we're not the Flat Earth Society. That's controlled disinformation. Go.
So are you saying I'm going to bet that you're saying that we're sitting in kind of like a bowl or like, and there's other land masses around us. Right. And then like we're kind of shelved in by a shelf of ice basically. And then there's other bowls of continents or land masses around us.
I'm not going to even go there. I don't know what's beyond Antarctica. We can speculate all we want. But we can prove that water needs containment. The science of water is at rest. It lays flat. There is no measurable curvature. You know, if the side of a lake was missing, the lake would also be missing because it would go and fill its container. So the container of our world is Antarctica. Now, is the whole thing an ice wall? No. Here's some shoreline of Antarctica right here. But it's just like the shoreline anywhere else. It graduates up. It holds the water in. So maybe if you go to Antarctica, you're going to pull up here rather than go to the top.
Okay, so I was on with Juanito. And he was in Antarctica and he was showing me all the beautiful mountains there. And he was in a ship right outside of there. And I saw all the scenery. I didn't see an ice wall. I saw black pyramid shaped mountains though, that kind of piqued my attention and kind of put my antennas up, but I didn't see an ice wall.
Just like in California, you can pull up to the shoreline where there's a cliff and you can pull up where there's a beach. Okay, here is just miles and miles and miles of the ice wall and pictures all over the place. There's tons of pictures and videos of the shoreline of Antarctica. Our mainstream geography says Antarctica is the highest land on Earth. Okay, we'll just put that in the, hey, that makes sense on a flat Earth column. It also could work on a globe, but we have this continent at the bottom of a ball that's higher than all of the other continents. It seems a little weird to me. So there, I'm just showing you some ice wall pictures here.
But actually, he ain't pulling up to an ice wall. He's pulling up.
No, I showed you this picture, which is, hold on. This is the shoreline of Antarctica also. No ice wall here. They could just pull up here and climb up these rocks and go where they're going. I mean, just like Dave, the ocean's lower than the land. That's, you know, I live in Connecticut. We're on the water. But the land is higher than the water. It's containing the water. It's the shoreline of our ocean. So there's no, whether there's an ice wall or not, there is. It's provable. But maybe he pulls up here. Maybe they fly him in on an airplane. Maybe is he taking a boat or is he flying there? And if they landed him 5 miles inland, how would he even know what the shoreline looks like?
Don't most people take a ship there? Don't they go to like Argentina and then take a ship right from there?
They do. And that's a crazy ride also. We'll get into that in a moment. So the question is, you know, Antarctica from space, if you Google that, they're all I'm not claiming them. They're all cartoons. There's no photos of Antarctica in space. I'm not saying Antarctica doesn't exist. It does. But we've only explored the shoreline, you know, that we know of. Okay, Dave, there's you know how many oceans there are on the Earth, right? They say there's four oceans: Atlantic, Pacific, Indian, and Arctic, right? But there's a fifth ocean that they don't really teach us about in school most of the time. It's the Southern Ocean, and it's bigger than all of the other oceans combined, and it's unexplored. Wow, what's going on there? We want to go to Mars, and we haven't even explored our outer ocean, which is the Southern Ocean. You know about Admiral Byrd, Dave?
Whoop, yes, I'm very familiar with him.
All right. Somebody sharing screen?
I was just sharing this. This is a one of my artists made this picture of what he – I told him, I was like, hey, man, let's look at the Earth, what it described in the Bible. Do your very best to depict what you can imagine it looks like without even thinking about the globe. Just 100%, just try to match it what you think it looks like. And this is what he drew. And while he was describing the ice wall, I just kind of wanted to put a depiction here for you guys.
I like it. But what's beyond that ice wall, we don't know. What's beyond that dome?
We think the firmament, but that's just an opinion.
You might be right. Again, you know, we don't need to go beyond 60 degrees south. Let me go back so I can share.
I don't know. Can I stop sharing here?
You have to stop sharing.
There we go. Sorry.
No worries. So in the late 1950s, there was Project High Jump, ice wall, where Admiral Byrd went out and explored towards the middle of Antarctica. I call it the outer south. And huge ticker tape parade. I believe this was in New York City. And he went on the news and told of he did an interview and he said that he found other land, more land, bigger than the United States, never seen by human beings before. Right? That's weird. And he said it was on the other side of Little America or no, the other side of the South Pole. Well, that's like from here, that would be near Australia.
He's on record saying this, correct?
Oh, yeah. And in this interview.
Did he play it or is it just something? Is it actually documented?
Absolutely. Just look up Admiral Byrd, Antarctica, and it'll come up. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. And it's also
He said this during a talk show?
No, it was on the news in 1960, 1959, 1958.
He's saying that when he was traveling through exploring Antarctica, he came across another landmass?
He came across more land, undiscovered land, bigger than the United States, filled with resources, uranium, coal, oil, everything that no human has ever set eyes upon.
And this is flying over.
Well, he said beyond the South Pole. Well, if you're coming from Australia, beyond the South Pole is on this side of the South Pole. If you're coming from here, beyond the South Pole is on the other side of the South Pole. So it's a little ambiguous. But if you look in his interview, what do we have here? We have the flat Earth map with a clock because the sky is a perfect clock. And we supposedly live in this gravitational model where no other planet's gravity affects the orbit of our moon, our sun, other planets. Everything works perfectly because the finest watches in the world are all set to the sky clock. The sky is the true time. And in a gravitational model, it doesn't work. That's a whole nother topic, the three-body problem. It'll blow you away, right? So right after he said that, 6 months later, he died in his sleep, Dave, died suddenly. It's kind of weird. And they came out with the Antarctic Treaty. And all the nations in the world eventually signed it, and nobody can go to Antarctica, right? That was in 1959 or 1961, somewhere in there. And right after that, they started NASA, and they said, don't look over here. We're going to go up there. We're going to send some Freemasons up to the moon, and that's a whole nother topic, right? But
but you can't go to Antarctica. Is there only certain parts of Antarctica you can visit? Is that why people go there?
100%. So there's a couple places that you go. When you go from Santiago there's like 100 different companies, Dave, that'll take you to Antarctica, but they're all run by the same people, the Antarctic Commission. So it's really one company with 100 shell companies, and they charge you, overcharge you. You know, a discount would be $10,000 for 3 days there, but they take you to two little islands. I'll show you there in a moment where they are. One of them's called Deception Island. The other one's called Rothschild Island. I don't know. Funny name. Weird names, and that's where they take you.
I have no doubt they're hiding something in Antarctica, but I just don't know if they're hiding the fact that the Earth is flat or they're...
We're going to get there, Dave. We're going to get there.
Or, you know, obviously, if Admiral Byrd said he found other land masses, that would kind of go with what I said about, the other continents beyond, right?
Right. Well, that again, that's a whole, you know, well, I'll cover that at the very end. And I have actual evidence that that is happening, but you can take it for, you know, what it's worth and look into it. So this is a radar buoy. These are all around our world, going in between. There's seven or eight military bases, evenly spaced. One of them's in the Falkland Islands. Remember that weird war? Why are we fighting over this little island? And these are all islands equally spaced pretty much around the outside, run by the Crown, that are military bases, and no one is allowed to go there. And if you try to go beyond 60 degrees south, you will be intercepted. Here's some fishermen. Somebody's got a whole bunch of other videos that people made. These guys, I'll just fast forward here. They were farther than they should. And all of a sudden in the distance, up shows a warship and radios them and says, "You're in restricted waters. Turn around immediately. Get out of here." Like, these guys are just fishing. They're 1,000 miles from Antarctica.
Or was this?
You're telling me that those guys with no jackets on are close to Antarctica? Like, that dude's got a t-shirt on.
Well, this is in January, and this is off of South America, and they went south. You know, it's warm down there. Antarctica isn't as cold as they tell you. That's another reason that they try to keep you away. I'm sure it is freezing cold at certain times.
Well, I mean, actually got frostbite, right, John?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fucking
cold. There are times of the year, and they're not there. They're 1,000 miles from Antarctica. I'm in Connecticut. If I went 1,000 miles south, it could be hot, and I come back here, it's snowing. That's just 1,000 miles right there. So that's a whole nother thing. So that's that. So you're talking about the way I see the Earth. This is the way I see the Earth, right? This is the shoreline that contains our world, right? And if you want to go to Antarctica, you go from here to that little tip right there. And that's where they let you go. No, and you can't even see the real shoreline of Antarctica from there. That's 1,000. I don't know how far that is. Is that 1,000 miles, 500 miles?
That's basically how everyone gets there.
Not everyone. There's people that work in Antarctica. There's bases all the way around. I'm going to show you those bases. I'm going to show you the whole thing. So what did they do?
But what's the common route that people, from what I understand, most people go through
to here.
Right. And is that like the only, so when people say, "I've been to Antarctica," I know
99% went from here to here. That maybe some went from Australia.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't personally know anyone. I know people everyone that I know that went to Antarctica went from here to here.
That's where Akshay is going to be as well. That's where the guy that Joe Rogan had on that crossed as well was right there in that peninsula. And that's actually where that adventure, I was telling you guys about somebody I know that, they're actually going to one of the sites where Admiral Byrd and his crew, where people died there and were never able to be brought back. And they're actually going there to find those bodies. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and they want you thinking Antarctica is the most hostile place on Earth. And that no, you know, I was shown a movie in elementary school or junior high about National Geographic explorers going to the North Pole. And they made it so horrible, and it was so dark and so cold and so desolate. And then they finally got there, like, "Hey, we're there." And the guy's fingers are falling off because of frostbite and everything. And basically the purpose of that movie, you know, and then it ended. I'm like, how are they all going to get back? They endured that to get there, and they're running out of food. How are they going to get back? But that was never answered. But basically every kid that watches that will never later in life say, "I want to go to the North Pole," because they've been programmed to not even consider that as a possibility. These are two places they don't want you to go. I'm going to cover that in a moment, but
like the Truman Show, almost like never, you know, always storms. The further you get, the more storms there are. The further you get, the more problems you endure. Right.
So how do you, Dave, if they put you in prison, you would probably not be a very cooperative prisoner, but if you didn't know you were in prison, maybe you're more controllable. So what they do is they cut this out, right? They cut this out. So this is the way the world's set up, and we don't know what's out there. They literally cut it out, and then they take it and they wrap it around a ball, and they create a fake continent at the bottom of a ball. So all of this inner space here is really the outer area, right? And when they take you from Santiago, they literally take you to an island off the tip here. That's not anywhere near this, right? This is supposedly 13,000 miles around, or 10 to 13,000 miles around. We can prove that it's not, right? So this is a construct of everything being brought around. Remember that animation, because we're going to refer back to it in a moment, right? So
And I'm hoping you'll get to this with this, because that's a really cool animation you got there. I'm hoping you'll get to the sun being in Antarctica all day long, because that's one of the biggest trippy things for me for the flat Earth. One of the hardest things to describe. So,
yeah. So right now we're going to focus on a couple of other things, but we'll go there. And again, looking up at the lights in the sky and the optics of the sky to figure out the shape of the floor below you is kind of illogical, but I'm happy to talk about it because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. So this is kind of what
my
see.
Timer went off, guys. I got to do it.
Go for it.
All right, let me knock this out. All right, folks. Gut cleanse protocol. I know you're mad. Just hang in there. Speaking of digestive issues, this is caused by a potential toxin that's in all of the, quote, healthy foods that scientists have been telling us to eat with a fraudulent food pyramid for the longest time. And this potential toxin causes digestive issues, according to Dr. Gundry, a world-renowned cardiologist. This is affecting millions of people nationwide. Warning signs include weight gain and fatigue and digestive discomfort, stiff joints, and skin problems. Well, Dr. Gundry explains that these side effects are often mistaken for normal signs of aging because digestive issues develop usually over a matter of years and sometimes even decades, folks. I can assure you that the damage is probably caused by these health foods and it's far from normal. The good news is you can easily help fix this problem from your own home. It's very simple. You just have to know which foods you can that are actually healthy and which foods contain this hidden potential toxin. It's a call to action, so you can find yourself at gutcleanseprotocol.com/Nino. gutcleanseprotocol.com/Nino. Because after years of research, Dr. Gundry has decided to release an informative video to the public for free. And it's uninterrupted, showcasing exactly which foods you need to avoid. Go down below, hit the link, and get started, folks. I'm getting good at this, guys. You like my little timer?
Love it, man.
Yeah, baby. Nice. All right, let's get this.
What you have to do, though, is you have to get like a boxing, like the clock, man. You got to get that because of your boxing background. And you got the corner in the back and everything. Ding, ding, ding.
And it stops us in our tracks, right? Yeah. And you could like push us back. Say, wait, hold on. That'll be good. I'll help you with that, Dave.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's keep going. So where's Akshay going then? I know he's going from, he has to be going from Argentina, but what part of Antarctica is he traveling?
Dave, we're almost there. We're going to get to that. I'm going to answer all your questions. So feel free to interject. So, two places on the Earth that would tell us that the Earth is a globe or a flat is Antarctica and the North Pole. Both of them are physically off limits. Now, the globers will claim there is no tree. You can go there. We've actually tried for months and months and months over a year now. We've been trying to get a permit. It's going to cost over $200,000 just for the permits. It take another year, and then they're going to turn us down and they keep the money. So it's not happening, right? People say that you can go independently explore. You cannot. Even the contractors that are going down there on ships to do whatever, build whatever, they're boarded when they cross 60 degrees south, and their helm is taken over by a military person. They're not allowed to... I'm going to show you this, David. I'm going to show you exactly what you're showing here.
Okay, so yeah, I just want to give everyone a bird's eye view here. So,
yeah,
that's what they're telling us right here, right? Bing.
Yep. And so that's where they take that tip.
But I thought actually he's going to be traveling in this area right here, right?
Let me show you what he's doing. We're almost there. Let me come back.
Okay.
So the two places that we can't go physically, we can't go virtually also, right? Here's Google Earth. Anyone could do this. Go to the web version of Google Earth, and you can draw a circumference around any area. It tells you the square miles, right? But if you draw a circumference around Antarctica, watch what happens. Remember, Antarctica is you know, brought around. So it doesn't even measure Antarctica. It gives you this weird crescent shape. Yep. Strike two, strike five, whatever strike it is, right? And the same thing, if you go to the North Pole, here we go, right? We go to the North Pole and we draw a section around it and get right there. And we try to measure that and we get the same thing. Look, it won't measure it. It gives us this weird thing. So some people say, well, you can't, you have to measure a continent, or, you know, all right, let's measure Greenland. If we measure Greenland, and measures it perfectly, you can measure out in the middle of the ocean, but Antarctica and the North Pole are not measurable virtually. And there's so many other anomalies on Google Earth with them. That's strike, whatever strike we're on. So we're getting close to where you want to be. So this is an old encyclopedia that we found. It's 1954 to 1955. And in it it says they were exploring Antarctica, supposedly across Antarctica. They said the trip took 22 days by airplane, right? Taking stop to stop. 22 days. That's interesting, right? This is 2,000 miles from here, from where they landed. This is Deception Island, I think, and over to what they call Little America, which is another base, right?
So the fact that it's called Deception Island says so much to me.
Yeah, and Rothschild Island right next to it, okay? So, Dave, here's the base right here on a flat Earth. Here's the next base. These are all of the bases. Notice they're all near the shoreline of the world. So when the plane took off, it stopped here, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 would be here. It stopped 5 times, and it took 22 days. And in the article, it says the expedition made extensive flights covering all of the Antarctic coasts, right? The South Pole is supposedly at the center, right? So that's interesting that they're doing that. Now, just remember this. We wrap the flat Earth, we cut it out, we wrap it around, and we create that fake continent at the bottom. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Yes, there are bases there, right? So one of the things that your guy mentioned was an explorer that went across Antarctica. Well, here's where they went. They started here, okay? They started here, and then they went over to this little island over here. And then they went all the way over to Little America. That's a base. And then they went to the South Pole, allegedly, here. And then they went back. Right? So what does that look like? So that looks like they went from here to here to here to here to here. Is that circumnavigation, Dave? Is that going across Antarctica?
No, you make a good point. I know that his journey is limited, right? John, you noticed that as well.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. We even brought that up. Antarctica. Yeah, so we brought that up to him, too. And he was willing to, you know, take that criticism, I believe, because he's in agreement that he's not crossing all the way straight across it like that. He's kind of going across it. But, I mean, he's obviously, I don't want to take away from his journey. I mean, what a
he's devotion. Doing an amazing journey. Right. I couldn't do it. He's a true explorer. He's a wild man. And I believe he is being truthful. I don't know. I'm assuming he's being truthful. I have no reason to think
he's not. But you still can't say you're crossing Antarctica. You're just...
Right. And that's what you brought up, John, the other day. That's why I asked David to invite you on the show today so we can have just another opinion on here. So, I like diverse opinions. But here's the thing.
So he's doing a fraction of Antarctica. He's doing just a little cut out of it.
Oh, it's worse. It's worse than that. But here's the problem, Dave. Compasses do not work in Antarctica. You know why? They're too far from the North Pole. And GPS doesn't really work in Antarctica either. However, they do have GPS stations where they can put up, you know, little pinnacles like the GPS buoys I showed you earlier. So guess who controls GPS? That would be NASA. Everyone in the world has access to GPS, but nobody except NASA has access to the actual code to show us. It should be open source, right? There's no reason why it can't be. But if they showed us it was open source, it would actually reveal the flat Earth. But let's take a look at what this looks like. If we back out, we don't know where this is. Now, Dave, if you were hiking through Antarctica and you're hiking following GPS, NASA said, go this way. And you actually went 500 miles or 1,000 miles. And they said, you're at the South Pole now. You have to believe NASA, right? So this is the trip. Now let's back it out. If we looked at it on this map, this is the trip. You went from here to here to here to here to here. Zoom in, right? He just went here. This is it. And Dave, if you're here, this is 1,000 miles. You can't see the shoreline. You don't know where you are. So if he went from here to here, you know, where's he going?
Is that his journey? Let me see that again.
That's actually, I'm not sure if that's his journey, but the last person that supposedly went across Antarctica, oops, wrong one. Hold on. Last person that went across Antarctica.
I mean, that's not across Antarctica. That's a tip of like.
That's a tip of a map.
A little bit of like Florida right there or something.
If the Earth is flat, Antarctica could be 500 times bigger than all of the other continents combined. We don't know because we don't have access beyond 60 degrees south, right? For those of you who don't know, the equator is zero, 10 degrees north, 10 degrees south, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, right? And it goes all the way out to 90, which would bring you to the South Pole, but nobody's really ever gotten there, provably gotten there, okay? This was another woman that he mentioned. This is her trip, worse. She literally went from here, went out, right? They said, this is the South Pole. She just did this little thing, right? Her this is according to her specs, right? If you look at it on a flat Earth map, that's what it looks like, right? And that's no simple journey.
Everyone I talk to that goes to Antarctica or says, oh, I've been there, it exists. It's always that area, right? It's always that one little particular area.
It does exist. It does exist. And the shoreline isn't the shoreline of a continent. It's that outer shoreline of our pond. And it's just wrapped around. Now, these are all these mountains that are all called domes for some reason. Dome A, Dome B, Dome C, right? These would be on the outside, right? If you look at the flat Earth map, you got your pond. You got the shoreline, which would be here. And then as you go this way, you're actually going out. So those are the mountains that may be where the firmament connects. I don't know, right? The Admiral Byrd said that at 80 degrees south or 85 degrees south, that the dome was at 13,000 feet. In the encyclopedia,
dome.
In the old
the dome was at 13,000 feet.
The dome is
What's
at 13,000 feet.
When he's saying a dome.
The Globers say that they call... I don't know. They made up some.
But Admiral Byrd saying that there's a dome. Is he talking about the firmament?
The dome is at 13,000 feet at 85 degrees south. It's in a 1959 encyclopedia on my app. By the way, the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. You can find it on my website. If you just search Admiral Byrd in the video search, you'll find videos on it.
Hold on,
or 1959 encyclopedia.
He's saying the dome is at how many feet?
At 13,000 feet. At 85 degrees south. So that to me, now if that's right, I don't know. We don't know because we can't go there. This is all just, you know, some people say Admiral Byrd was a Freemason. You know, who knows? I don't know. But it seems pretty legit. And the fact that he did that reveal of Antarctica and the more land, and 6 months later he was dead in his bed, as you know, as 61-year-old, I believe. It's interesting, right? So you have all
once
of our.
Once he revealed all this, he was gone. He was a goner.
Within a year, I think, right? Within a year of him writing his diary, I think.
I think it was 6 months. Yeah.
But his diary is public domain, right? Anybody can go look up his diary?
You can look up his diary, and I believe that his notes were all written a certain way, except like the last chapter. It was in a whole nother style, and it came out after he died. So it seems like somebody changed that. The same thing with the Iron Republic. The last chapter on the Iron Republic, which is a whole nother story, about the Outer Lands, it kind of changed the writing style. Just, this is the base, right? They could tell you this is the South Pole. How would you ever know? You would never know, right? Here's another thing. On a globe, okay? On my globe. On a globe, everything's symmetrical, right? Because we're tilted, and half the time we're tilted towards the sun, half the time we're tilted away, and 0 degrees is the equator. 30 degrees north. I live in Connecticut. I think it's 34 degrees north. 30 degrees south should be the same weather 6 months apart, right? Makes sense? Symmetrical, right? So in June, when the sun is this far north due to the tilt of the earth, the alleged tilt, at certain latitudes should reflect the same weather as 30 degrees south. Well, let me just read this real quick. No plants, no life, no plants of any kind, not even a lichen or a moss has been found within 64 degrees south. So 64 degrees south of the equator, parallel latitude. While north latitude at 83 degrees north. That's way farther north, right? 6 months later, there's all kinds of animals, plants, trees, four-legged creatures, birds, potatoes, cabbage, spinach, turnips. Man has never yet gone northward far enough where any vegetation of some kind does not exist. But beyond 60 degrees south, there's nothing. Strike for the globe. Strike for the globe. Doesn't prove flat Earth. It's just another strike for the globe.
That's why I'm entertaining this podcast, because, yeah, you bring up a lot of valid questions, and anybody with an open mind can see that. I mean, yeah. Right, John? I mean, it's not like...
I think so.
You've got to pose these questions, man. I'm not saying the Earth is flat. I'm just saying this doesn't make sense. None of it does.
Well, Dave, I don't need to say the Earth is flat. You could say, you know, if you really take the time and look in, the easiest thing to do is say there's absolutely no possible way it can be a globe in a space vacuum. That can't be. Now, John's geocentric, I think, or he's leaning geocentric.
I 100% believe in geocentric. 100% believe that. To me, the math makes sense. It all makes sense geocentrically. It also makes sense to me flat Earth wise as well. So, like everything you're saying here, that's totally the reason I'm like, you know, of course, until I can see it for myself or whatever, it's really going to be hard for me to say, yes, I believe 100% the Earth is flat, because I can't go to Antarctica. I can't go to space. I can't do a lot of those different things. And I think the Bible is, and of course, I know that a lot of people would disagree with me on this, including like Rob Skiba, if he was still here, and a lot of people, but I believe the Bible is a tad bit more ambiguous towards the idea of the shape of the Earth 100%. It does say it's a circle, no doubt. And it does say that it stays where it's at and all of those different things. And it seems to describe a flat Earth. But I'm 100% could say I believe geocentric Earth, and I think that it's provable. Whereas flat Earth is still, there's just so many questions. Like Nino said, it's hard not to see this as a question, like something we need to know or want to know about.
I'll say that I 100% don't believe. I 100% don't know. How about that?
That's probably a better place to be.
I'm not scared to admit that. I'm sure we could have someone. I remember you debated somebody a while back, Dave.
Professor Dave, who just calls himself a professor. He's a
look. I could care less what he said, because he's still regurgitating learned knowledge. Okay,
exactly.
And that's why you still, to me, had a leg up on him, because he's regurgitating learned shit, which is completely, in my mind, it holds no substance.
Perfect.
It's learned shit from the indoctrination school. So he sounds smart, but it didn't convince me either. It did not convince me.
All right.
So I just want you to know that, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. John, I just, this question for you. In the geocentric world, you believe that there's still a firmament containing our air. And then what's beyond that? I don't know. You know,
well, so, I believe that my idea of the model, which I showed you guys a minute ago, this is what I believe that the Earth looks like. Now, am I 100% on the shape of the Earth? I can't be right now, until there's a few questions that I have in my mind that will determine whether I believe that or not. But there's, you know, such as what we're getting ready to talk about, hopefully the sun, and why do people see the sun 24 hours a day on that small peninsula at certain times of year? And to me, on the flat Earth map,
we all agree 100% that they're lying to us. How about that? We all agree with that.
We know that.
We all agree.
All right.
Right.
So your guest, the explorer guy, he said that there was a flight that did a world record north-south pole-to-pole circumnavigation. So they went from America up over Greenland, around the North Pole, down through, I guess that's Russia, Madagascar, and down to the South Pole, and back to South America, and back up. And it took like 2 or 3 days, whatever it took. And cool. Let's look at that on a flat Earth map, right? It's just this, Dave. They went up here by the North Pole, around Madagascar, came around, went to the alleged South Pole. That's all they did. I mean, that doesn't prove anything, right? And you know, the other one. This was years ago. When we were first looking into this, this guy was going to do pole to pole, North Pole to South Pole, back to the North Pole circumnavigation. It was called Spider Tracks, and you'd be able to track them. So we tracked him. Like, this is awesome. Let's check it out. Let's see if he does it. And he went from up here, North Pole, Alaska, California. I guess he went out to Hawaii or whatever, these islands, all the way over to Santiago. Then he went to the North, to the South Pole, and he said the weather was so bad they had to turn around and come back. So he went up through Brazil, up through New York, and back around. We're like, all right, he didn't do it. Guinness Book gave him the record for the first north to south circumnavigation. Look at it on a flat earth map. It's just this, just like I showed you the other one. He went here, he turned around. Dave, if you went down to the end of your street, touched the telephone pole, came back, went to the other end of your street, touched the telephone pole, and came back to your house, does that prove your yard is, your street is a sphere?
No.
That's all he did. Oh, and he got the world record. He got the world record.
So these are like designated routes they take.
Well, these are proof that you can't go all the way around. Another
right, one, right. But they're like designed and designated for these people. That's all they can do. They don't go. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. I understand it. I'm just.
Here's another one that people use. There's the Antarctic sailboat race. Now, these guys are sailing at like 50 degrees south, which is far away from Antarctica. But it's not, you know, it's 50 degrees south of the equator. The equator is just under 25,000 miles around. So think about that. If there was a canal all the way around the equator, it would be 25,000 miles to come back to where you started from, right? So these boats go like upward of 20, 30 miles an hour. And these boats are the highest tech sailboat race boats in the world. You know, tied to the dock, they can go 5 miles an hour. That's a joke, right? And so when these guys go, they're going super fast, but at the end of their race, they calculate the time and the distance that GPS, NASA tells them they went, and they're averaging 3 to 4 miles per hour. Wait a minute. Maybe they're going a greater distance, and that's why the number's coming out so small. None of the people say, well, how come any of the sailors haven't spoken out? Several of the captains have spoken out, and they're now flat earth advocates, because on their website last year, they said the leg from South Africa around Antarctica to Brazil was 32,000 miles. How big's the equator, Dave? Just under 25,000 miles. How could this little part, and then to go from here where they went over here, that's another 10, 15,000 miles.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It makes lots of sense on the flat stationary earth, right? This is the trip. 32,000 miles, that makes more sense right there. And then they come, they finish the race here, another 10, 15,000 miles, and that's the trip. That makes sense. But they're like, well, you know, we're only averaging 4 miles an hour. It must have been ocean currents. They don't know. You can't measure how far you're going when you're out at sea. All right. So there's another issue, right? So this is the part, we can talk about Outer Lands for a minute, and we'll get into the sun, John. And I don't know if I ever showed you this on our show. You can go on a ship tracking website, and you can see all the cargo ships, all the cruise ships of the world. You can click on them, find out all the information, what they're carrying, captain's name, where they're going, how long they've been at sea, when they're arriving. We found a ship that was 730 miles inside of the shoreline of Antarctica. My first response would be, you know, if I was a believer in all the nonsense, I'd be like, wow, I guess it's really melting and there's a canal. Well, at that distance, the shoreline, they say that Google Earth says it's 1.9 miles high. That's a deep canal to be at sea level, 1.9 miles, walls above your head. That's crazy, right? We found another one zooming out 905 miles in. That's 2.37 miles above the shoreline, above the ocean level, right? So what is going on there? So we clicked on the map, and we found that the ship, whoops, hold on a second, that the ship, it didn't tell us any information other than it was registered in the nation of Kiribati, and the ship was 850 meters long by 80 meters wide. Dave, that is a massive ship. How does that ship get that far inside of Antarctica? So when we Google Earth it, which, by the way, since these videos have been going around, they changed it. You can't Google Kiribati anymore on Google Earth. It doesn't show it. But I put a pin on it because it's so small. It's a little atoll. It's a sandbar. Most of the people live right on this end right over here, right? And the United States, Vietnam, China, a whole bunch of countries say that this little island is a very important trade route. Keep that in mind for a minute. A very important trait. What are they getting there? Why would a giant ship need to go there? I mentioned last time I was on that Captain Cook tried to circumnavigate Antarctica. Remember, 10 to 13,000 miles around. It took him 3.5 years. He went over 68,000 miles. Sounds like he's going all the way around like those sailboats did, but even closer. But he was like following the shoreline around 68,000 miles. On Kiribati, there's a Captain Cook bed and breakfast. I don't know. Doesn't prove anything. Just kind of weird, right? So we looked at the ships that are docking at this giant dock on this little sandbar. And when we click on any of their information, again, very limited information, destination was one of two things, unknown or Christmas Island. Now, some people say Christmas Island is what they call Kiribati. I couldn't find any evidence of that. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's weird. And especially if you've dug into the whole Christmas and Santa and Satan and all that stuff, that's another rabbit hole. So what does that prove? I don't know what it proves, Dave.
But you're raising a lot more questions, and that's what's important.
Yes.
And you just left me a lot more confused, so thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No problem.
If anything, it just proves we don't know everything, and there's it's really hard to imagine that we can. That's why I'm like, people that are diehard globe earthers, diehard anything when it comes to that, it's like, man, like, we are living in the biggest peak of deception that we've ever lived in humanity, at least from what I can tell. And it's just so unreal at how many things we don't know. And that's something I didn't know either, man. That's a good find.
Yeah. So on a globe earth, the way you do time zones is you draw a line from the North Pole to the South Pole, and you do 24 of them equally spaced like sections in an orange. And as the earth spins, you have your different time zones. Wherever the sun is, it's noon. So the earth spins, right? That's how time zones go. Makes sense, right? That's your understanding. Okay. We were all taught that.
That's what I've always been told.
So if we look at this weird timeline over here, this weird dateline, let's zoom in on it. This one crosses 3.5 time zones. Weird. Okay? Why would that happen? This I would call the most interesting place. And that's where Kiribati is. I don't know what it means, Dave, but that's where Kiribati is. Right? And there's a whole bunch of stuff with nuclear testing in Kiribati. It sounds like they want to keep you away there because the whole nuclear nuclear bomb.
It completely goes around it. Is that what that is right there?
It goes around it, right? It's here.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. But Dave, 24 time zones all the way around on a globe symmetrically. That's how a globe works.
Except for right there.
Except for, no, there's other, I'm going to show you a second. So imagine the flat earth map, and we have the center point, and we draw 24 spikes, like spokes on a wheel, 24. So there are your time zones. Now, if you tried to wrap that around a ball, they're all going to get crunched up at the bottom. It's going to be a problem. You got a lot of wrinkled paper at the bottom, right? Dave, this is something they don't teach in school. There's 19 time zones in the northern area. There's 24 time zones in between the two tropics, the equator, you know, and north and south. And then there's 32 time zones in the south. Strike for the globe? You give me a strike for the globe, right?
They're getting a lot of strikes. I want to jump in, right?
Right.
Makes a lot of sense to me what you're saying. It does. It makes nothing but sense. That's what's crazy about it.
Yeah.
And that's the same. But and I'm one to say that it goes against everything that I was taught, although I know that everything I was taught was a lie.
Yeah.
So, but when you jump in all in with this,
Dave, what about this?
Discredit you in everything else you do. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense.
This is I think it's called the Kiribati map. It was published in a newspaper in 1910 in Hawaii. It's supposedly 1,000 years old. Are all wars over power, land, resources, right? Right. What if the elite know about other lands, other civilizations, other resources, and they're keeping it for themselves? And they don't want us going out here, right? So where's Kiribati on here? If we look, Kiribati would be, here we go.
Would you say, David, like, all the other land masses around is for their enjoyment, and then this little controlled area is our prison?
Dave, that would be speculation, but I'll say it. Yes, that's what I believe. But again, I don't need to speculate what's beyond 60 degrees south or higher than I can reach to prove the Earth is a level non-rotating topographical plane, right? So Dave, take this map. Remember, we cut it out and we wrap it around a ball, you've now just hidden the rest. You're in a prison and you don't even know it. And what if, you know, these other lands out here, people think that that's the outer space. Hey, the outer space. We're here in the inner space. This is
But we're looking this way. We're looking up.
We're looking out. We're looking out. We're looking across the land. All of the biggest telescopes in the world are run by the Vatican, and they're all in the deep south.
But when you're looking at stars, and you showed one earlier.
Those are stars above us.
That's where they tell us that outer space is.
Yeah.
You're saying, both of you are saying that's the firmament, correct?
I believe that's
what
that's
so.
That's what's outside the dome, right? That would be what's outside the dome.
Or Dave, you know, God said he put the sun and the moon in the dome. Dave, let me ask you a question. Where do you put your milk? In the refrigerator or under the refrigerator?
Oh, obviously, you know.
Okay. So when someone says the sun is in the firmament, to me, I think the firmament's very thick. And I think it's in that thickness and we're below it. That you can interpret the Bible that way.
So, I think that's actually you know, when I say the moon landing, I believe it was faked and all this stuff. Was the main reason is to convince us that we live on a globe? It wasn't because we're in a race.
100%, David. 100%.
It wasn't because we're in a race with the cosmonauts and we had to beat them to the moon. So we did it in a Hollywood studio. You're saying the main thing was it was a Masonic type of mission to, I don't know, convince the world that we live on a globe.
100%. They took our mind away from Antarctica and pointed us towards the, you know, look up here where you can never go. And we're going to just constantly about space. You know, Dave, for those of you that are new to this and they're freaking out and are going to send Dave an email telling him he's crazy, he's jumped over the edge.
Oh, I get it all the time.
Yeah. Where's your poop for the globe? And here's the thing, Dave. You know, if you're talking about the jibby-jibby thing, the thing that people love to poke themselves with, you can't find information. You can't Google that. You're not going to find any reasonable information on that. But does that make it not true? This is something that you can't Google also. You Google my name. You Google Flat Earth. You're not going to get led to the real information. You're going to get propaganda videos. If you search your YouTube history for all of the real Flat Earth videos you watch by searching Flat Earth, none of them are going to show up, even though they're in your history, and propaganda videos will show up. That's a red flag right there.
I remember when that happened, David. I remember, yeah. You know, Mark, I'm friends with Mark Sargent, and all that. I spent some time with them at Hummer's house and all that. And it was amazing because at one time, and I don't know if you remember this, Nino, because you may not have been into the flat earth idea or just looking into it, but man, YouTube was all flat earth videos showing you Sargent's video was the biggest flat earth video that ever existed. What was Flat Earth Clues? And that just kicked off a revolution, in my opinion. But a lot of it, man, it was crazy. I saw the downfall of it. I saw the media come in. I saw Logan Paul come in. I met him when he was at the Flat Earth Conference. And I even told Robbie Davidson, which was the leader of the conference, this guy is going to make you look like a fool. And of course he did. And after that, that's when everything just started getting completely pushed down. You can't find a good video hardly any more on YouTube unless you know where to look.
Yeah, so that's why
Still on YouTube.
They're all still there. It's just they don't show up in the search results. So they've changed the algorithm to hide us. I've created an algorithm that actually lets you find everything. Dave, these are your fans, by the way. Okay, not because you're a flat earther. I'm not claiming that. I'm claiming you have an open mind. You're willing to look. You're willing to look at evidence, and you're willing to change your mind based on new information. That's all. That's who we like. These are just the people that have my app. Right? Just in the Northeast here. It's the same all over the world. So in my app, which it can be found at flatearthdave.com, I have a video search. And let's just take a look. If we just click the video search and I type in Flat Earth Clues. Right? And search. Let's see. Hopefully this works. Yep. Boom. Flat Earth Clues. All different versions of it. Right. So anything you want to search, it'll come up. I bet if I just typed in Nino, right, because I believe I've done some interviews with you. Let's just see if it searches. You can search internet. It's not going to find them, but there they are. Here's my two interviews with you, a whole bunch of interviews and other clips also. So anything you want to find can be found on this app. By the way, the app is $3, one-time charge. Go read the reviews if you have an issue with it. But if you want to learn about Flat Earth, it's the place to go. The question mark brings you to The frequently asked questions page, and all of your questions will be there. And one that we're going to answer right now is Antarctica and the 24-hour sun right here. All the videos that you need on that are there in that section. But again, they won't show up when you try to search for Antarctica and 24-hour sun, because you'll see there's like three or four videos that are clearly faked showing the 24-hour sun. Now, is there 24 hours of light in Antarctica? 100%. Yes, there is.
So before you get on that, I just want to say that that you know, your app, I've heard of that so many from so many people. And I don't, what year did you start that? Was it 2019, 2020?
2018.
I remember when you put that out, I actually used to have that app. I can still download it on my new phone. I'm going to get it. But when you describe what you're describing through all of this, and you know, for your ease of mind, I've done shows about Flat Earth recently, and they've gotten hundreds of thousands of views. So, but by being skeptical, at least to a point to where it's like you're willing to entertain and not being too die hard on the subject, they do not censor that material. Now, like David, they're going to censor him all day long, because David Wise is the Flat Earth guy, right? Like, after Rob Skiba passed, I think, David, you've probably taken the baton more than
Isn't
most of
there another
the other
guy?
People.
You said there's another one.
Eric Dubé.
Dubé as well, yeah.
Yeah. So, Dave, maybe you should title this David Weiss Destroyed by Nino. Knocked out by Nino.
No,
right?
Let's be honest. I'm trying not to be the little boy that cries wolf all the time. So,
All right. Well, that would help the algorithm. That's all.
I called mine Conspiracy Corner, and I was wearing a cowboy hat with aluminum foil covering it on it for most of the show. So, it got a lot of truth out, but I look like a fool doing it, but it got a lot of truth out, I think. So,
yeah. So, again, on the app, if you go to the Where Does the Sun Go and Antarctica and the 24-hour sun, there's a whole bunch of videos showing how that works. And they'll do a lot better job than I can right here. But if we have a dome above us and the sun is in the firmament, so this would be above where we are, you have this light and this dark. And I'm trying to, here we go. This is what I'm looking for.
So that that reflection is what you're saying, which I've considered as well.
Yeah. So here is me just moving the light. That would make me God, right? And I'm moving the light in and out. And this is time and date showing us the light. Now watch right here. See, the light wraps around here. Even though the sun is over here, right? The sun is here. Right, it's on the equator right here, and then when it moves in, let's just go a little bit. Hold on, come on. Oh, when it moves out, the light wraps around the dome, and you get this sunlight over here when the sun's all the way over here. So
is that why? So that's why you're saying it's always sun's in Antarctica, shining in Antarctica.
As I said before, half an hour before the sun comes up, you can read a book outside on the west side of your house. You know, here in the north, which is like, that's definitely not sunlight. That's daylight. There's a difference between daylight and sunlight. You could have daylight and the sun is nowhere to be seen. The thing that people assume, it's daylight, therefore the sun is up, but that's not the case.
John, didn't you say it's always, the sun is always in Antarctica, correct? It's always
light.
Well,
that's what I've heard. Like, that's what actually I was saying, that you can see the sun, but I'm trying to look if there's a time lapse. So there's time lapse of the sun not setting in Antarctica, you can find on YouTube, right? And so, you can see the sun, and I'm just watching. I can probably.
Well, you're looking at one that's going to show the sun staying at the exact height above the ground, going all the way around again and again. It is so fake, and I showed how fake it is. I'm not even good at photo editing, but I made the same video with three different suns circling around. Right. And I'm not even good at it. I have no budget. NASA gets $80 million every single day. And this video here.
I'm just going to play it while you describe what's going on here.
So watch this guy. I have a video again in the Antarctica and the 24-hour sun section on the app that will show you. Now, this guy, play that same video. You're going to see
this one right here, or this one.
The one that you just showed.
I'm trying, man. I don't know if my internet's going slow or what's going on here.
So
let me go.
The guy comes out and he shows his watch, and you can see in the distance. And then he sets up his camera to follow the sun around. And by the way, it's a huge fisheye camera. And hopefully you can play it.
I'm hoping so too.
And you'll look at from the time he starts, and then there's an edit. All of a sudden, the mountain that wasn't covered with snow is covered with snow. So there's an edit after a snowstorm. And then the clouds that you see at the very beginning repeat themselves 24 hours later.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the full video. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, me neither. That doesn't look like a...
That's kind of cool. That's the sun going away and disappearing.
Oh, that's a solar eclipse. That's not even it. That's a solar eclipse. That's the eclipse. Okay. Well,
it should be the one on the left, the big one that's featured right there. No,
this
the big
one, right
one,
here, right?
One there, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So look at that mountain, that pyramid-y mountain. It's not a pyramid. Look at that mountain. There's no snow on it, right? Let's just go. All right, there's no snow on it. The guy comes out. He shows his watch like, hey, it's midnight, right? We got the sun up there in the right corner, and he'll show his watch, right? And then he goes off camera, and the time-lapse starts. Now watch the mountain very carefully. And when it starts, here it comes. It's covered with snow. Right? Now watch these clouds. Now see these clouds? Now it's gonna I break it out of my video. I play them side by side. As it comes around, those same exact clouds come again. Right? So this is a fake video. It's a fake video. I mean, look at the first. He's using a fisheye lens. Now, that doesn't prove that it's fake. It just proves that it's a wide-angle fisheye lens. But the puffs of smoke that are coming out of the chimneys, exactly the same when it comes back around. Therefore, it's fake. Why do you have to fake something if it's real? Why do you have to fake something if it's real?
Yeah, good find, man. I would have never noticed that.
So on my app, if you go to the 24 answer the frequently asked questions, Antarctica 24 hour sun. There's several videos on this and on other videos. Also, again, don't believe something's fake because I tell you it's fake. Use your God-given discernment. Look, verify, check everything yourself, because people just tell you, well, space is expanding a billion miles per minute in every direction. And, the universe is 13 billion years old. But NASA just said they found a new planet like 25 billion light years away. How could that be if it's only 13 billion light years old?
I mean, I'm not going to be the first to admit it. That's why I have you on, Dave, is that you raise a lot of questions. And it's almost like just common sense. It is common sense.
It is common sense. But Dave, why would they lie? Why would they lie about this?
There's
right?
Many reasons.
Many reasons. But it's a prison
because of that.
For your mind, right? Because if you're in a prison and you don't know you're in a prison, you don't know.
Because
that
then we'll all try to break out, and that'll be all.
Nobody wants to go here. But here is actually all the way around us, right? Dave, on the app in the book section, there's a book called The Iron Republic, and you could actually find that. There's a link for it online. When someone reads it, it's an audio book, and it's a fascinating story. But whether it's true or not doesn't matter. It's about a senator, a congressman, or a politician out of New York in the late 1800s that got fed up. He went south. I got a ship, and he ended up going to the other side, and he found other land. He lived there for a decade, and he came back. And whether it's true or not doesn't matter. It rings true to me. I mean, if you read the whole book, but they were talking about more land beyond Antarctica in the 1800s. That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Well, you're probably talking about the maps of the. Go ahead. I was just going to say the book. I think you're talking about is a map of the ancient sea kings by Hapgood that shows all of the different mapping of every sea king that traversed the earth for trade. And there's a lot of pictures of Antarctica being a lush land with the animals and stuff like that.
So let me ask you both a question and answer this truthfully. Does this make you have stronger faith in the Bible, or do you look at this whole damn thing like a trap? Do you look at the whole thing?
Like John, you go first. I want to answer that.
Is this a game being played on all of humanity, the whole thing, even the Bible, everything? Is it all a trap? Or do you get stronger in your faith in the Bible? Like, seriously, if this is true, are you looking at the whole damn matrix as a trap, the Bible included, or do you get more stronger faith in the Bible? And I mean, what's our choices here? I mean,
this is what I'll tell you that's exactly.
How big is this prison? I mean, is it just the deception Satan's throwing on us, or is this the whole damn thing a deception, including religion and God and then the whole thing? I mean, how do you look at this? I want to know the truth from you guys.
I'll tell you exactly what I believe. Okay, so why I believe that they've hidden all of this, the idea that everything's different than what we've been taught. You know that the globe, that vision of the globe has been since we were children. It's just been a constant thing. But I think my personal opinion is this is what it did for my mind. It hid God. It hid who God was. It hid the fact that he is actually cares about this civilization versus being possibly thousands of other civilizations hurling through space at thousands of miles an hour, ever so small and just expanding, and we could be nothing, right? It hides that there is a creator over mankind that cares about mankind enough to put us within a structure where we can live, etc., or created us for this structure. I believe it hides that. I believe that's the ultimate goal, to hide it. And that's why I believe NASA, which is the Hebrew word for deception, beguiled, the first word where NASA was ever used in the Bible in the Hebrew. You can look this up in Genesis when it was talking about the servant beguiling Eve. And that word is nasha, which is in the Hebrew deception. NASA was designed to deceive. It was started by a Nazi scientist that came over in Operation Paperclip. They were friends with Disney. They worked together and doing all this. All of their rockets, all of their ships that they've sent off have been named after ancient pagan gods, such as Apollo, which is the beast that comes out of the pit. I believe what the Bible says, that he cast one third of the angels here to earth and that they cannot escape because there is no way for them to escape. The vault has not been opened for them to escape.
Well, we're kind of in the same predicament.
I believe we are in the same, but this is what nobody understands, and which I don't understand. Nobody in humanity truly understands God to begin with. We're like dogs looking at a microwave trying to figure out how it works. It's just, you know, it produces good food. You know that stuff comes out of it that smells good, but the dog just doesn't know how it works. He sees his master putting the stuff in there. So do I believe that there's probably a religious deception associated with this? I absolutely do. And that's why I believe that the Holy Spirit has been sent to mankind to guide us into all truth. And it is a matter of being able to accept the Savior. I believe in Jesus. I don't know about, I know that you do as well, Nino. I don't know about you, David, but I believe that because my life has been personally changed by it. Of course, I can't prove that to anybody. It's a faith thing. But I believe also that the Father has given me the Holy Spirit. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a drug dealer. I used to be a criminal. I used to do all those things. I was a fool. And the Holy Spirit was sent to me and enlightened me to a point where I'm at right now. So I can't deny that. That's what I believe. The Holy Spirit is meant to guide us into truth. And we will escape this one day. We're meant to live this earth. We're here for a reason. There's no coincidences as to why we're here. And I believe God's weeding out the trash. Like, you know, when the new world comes, when the new age comes, when everything is set to be destroyed, he's kicking the trash out and we're proving ourselves. People are proving he can't just say, oh, you were trash or you were a bad person. Well, you didn't give me a chance to live. We've all had the chance to live. We've all had the chance to maneuver in this world the way we want to. And yes, I believe that we're stuck here until the time comes when we're able to actually transcend all of the traps that are a part of this world. I do believe it. And the Bible is clear that Satan has been given dominion over this earth right now. So do I believe that we are trapped here and that there is a deception? Absolutely. But I don't believe it's by God. I believe it's by the one who got dominion from Adam and Eve, because humans were created in the image of God, which means God is an image of a human. And we were given dominion, but we gave up that dominion in the Garden of Eden, and now we are under control, under a curse that is not going to be lifted.
Jesus freed us from that. He nullified the contract.
That's what I believe, and that's about it. You know,
hey, about John, that's some awesome testimony. Awesome testimony. Let me give you my side. And by the way, I 100% agree with you. And the fact that it lifted you up, that you found God, you found the Creator, got out of drugs and crime, and became a better person. That's the problem. The elite don't want people in a place where they can't deny the Creator. I denied the Creator my entire life until 2014. And I was born in a non-practicing Jewish family. And I, you know, all the kids in my town in junior high school, they were going on a trip to Bermuda with Young Life, which was a Christian organization. And I was like, I want to go. My parents were like, just go. Right. So I went and I'm like, okay, this is gonna be fun. They took us out to this cliff, the seawall in Bermuda, the ice wall. It wasn't ice, it was sand wall. And they're going to do a Bible study. So I was like, okay, a Bible study. This should be interesting. And the first verse they read was the verse that had where the stars fall to the earth. And I was like, that can't happen. A star would eat the earth. The star is like the size of a house and the earth is the size of a grain of sand. How could it fall to the earth? And from that day on, I disregarded the Bible my entire life until 2014. I found out the Big Bang is nonsense, evolution is nonsense, and this world is intelligently designed. Therefore, there is a creator. Now, I think everyone's relationship with the creator is their own personal business, right? And if you want other people to follow your way, set a good example. Let them see what you're doing and let people have their own personal relationship. So yeah, the elite don't want us in a situation where you can't deny the creator. There's a verse in the Bible that says, once you see my creation, you can no longer deny my existence. And that's why the globe lie is the most important lie. Because if you're spinning out of control, lost in a heliocentric, you know, space vacuum of impossibility, you are lost. You don't know where you are. You don't know the true power that you have. You don't know about the resources are here, the free energy that's here, all of the stuff that they're hiding. And if you understand that there's a creator, you're less easily controlled. That's why they try to keep us in a heliocentric space. If you want to dilute something like God, what do? You pour it into a larger container, infinite space, and that dilutes it. And so if your mind is diluted and your mind is being steered direction-wise by the news, which is an acronym for North, East, West, South, steering your mind, just my opinion. And, So once you understand that you're nothing to be afraid of, that government wants to think it's the pyramid is government, man, God, or government, God, man, right? That's what they want. It's God, man. Maybe we allow government somewhere below us on a menial level, but that's up to us. They work for us, but they want to rule over God, right? So the people higher up in the governments, they're really the evil ones. They're working for the evil one that John was talking about. And
most of the religions too, yeah. David, most of the religions as well have been infiltrated with this as well.
I agree. So here's my point is, I used to listen to some, you know, podcasts investigating all sorts of things. This is good. I'm taking notes back when we had took notes on paper. And then all of a sudden they'd mention the Bible or the Quran. I'm like, oh, a bunch of religious fanatics. And I'd rip the pages out of the book and I'd unsubscribe and I'd throw it in the garbage. Right? Because that's where I was coming from. Guess what? A lot of the world is still that way. So when people say, you know, mainstream will go, oh, flat earth is a bunch of Christians, a bunch of religious kooks, right? That scares away half the people that might
be flat earth. Yes,
so that's why I say we don't need the Bible to prove flat earth. We have science. We have physics that prove the flat earth. But the Bible does also. So I don't lead with the Bible. My co-host on the Flat Earth podcast is Matt Long. He comes from the Bible side. So I'm coming from the scientific side.
Matt.
And he comes from the Bible side, but we both are on the scientific side. Everyone believes in science. Dave, if I was in the room there and I punched you as hard as I could, right, you'd probably kill me. But we know that's science. We can measure that. You can feel it. And
then there'd be an opposite reaction.
Yeah. So, I would find out what gravity is because I'd be on the floor, right?
Well, guys, I'm going to call it here, man. You guys will be great. I'm going to leave it up to my audience. Is the earth flat? Is it round? I got to ask the question on FluffTube. Is it geocentric? Where are we living? I mean, it's just, look, I still have a lot of questions. You've made me have now even more questions on this, which is a good thing because I'm a sponge and I like to learn as much as I can. And I'm sure my audience does too. Just keep an open mind. And we can figure this out together. Dave, thank you for joining me.
Wait, one second. We'll do one last thing. One last thing. All I have a challenge, right? Get the app. You can get it at flatearthdave.com. Watch every day. There's a new video right here. While you're having your coffee, just in the morning, just watch one video a day for 2 weeks. At the end of that 2 weeks, if you can come up with one proof that the earth is a globe, you win 3 Bitcoins. That's $200,000, okay? 3 Bitcoins for one proof of the globe, right? Before you go, well, how do I know you're going to pay? My reputation, my everything is on it. Like if I don't pay, then, you know, I've ruined everything. And my reputation is everything. So check it out. But here's the thing. I have to warn you. Do not take my challenge. Because if you do, you're going to end up being a globe denier at the least, whatever that means. And then you're going to have to deal with that. With
I'm
your
a
family,
globe
with
questioner
friends.
Now. I've turned into a globe questioner.
That's all I ask. If you're questioning the globe, you're on the right track. So there you go.
All right, guys. Where can they find you, John?
Now You See TV on YouTube. Now You See TV or NYSTV. NowYouSeeTV.org as well.
And go to FlatEarthDave.com to get to... Right.
Check it out there. I'll be speaking in June, at the end of June, in the UK, in Dorset, somewhere in the UK. Check it out on my website. If you're in the UK listening to this, come. It's a 4-day Truth and Music Festival. Mark Devlin's going to be there. Dave Murphy, allegedly Dave. A bunch of other great speakers. And if you're looking for an escape and you're nearby, come out. It's a great, great festival.
Sounds good. All right, guys. I'm out of here.
All right, Dave. Thanks. See ya.
Thank you.